Israel in connection with their worship and the role of the high priest. But in consideration to. The first is this. What makes Jesus a better high priest than any man who ever served in that position? And second, how does Jesus show loyalty in a way that benefits you and I today? Let's answer those two questions. Why is Jesus a better high priest? The temple in Jerusalem and the tabernacle before it foreshadowed a greater arrangement for worship. You see, it is God's spiritual temple that it was foreshadowing. It's the arrangement that Jehovah has put in place for you and I to approach our loving God, Jehovah, and worship on the basis of the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus became the high priest, our high priest, of Jehovah's great spiritual temple upon his baptism in the year 29 CE. Now, there are some interesting parallels between the duties of Israel's high priest as well as the actions of Jesus as a better high priest, our high priest. Paul was inspired to explain how Jesus' high priesthood was far superior to that of Aaron and any of his descendants. In Hebrews chapter 10, open your Bibles, please, and notice how the Apostle Paul refers back to the arrangement that the nation of Israel followed when it came to their worship of Jehovah and the offering of sacrifices. Because in verse 1, he says, "For since the law has a shadow of the good things to come, but not the very substance of the things, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered year after year, make those who approach perfect. Otherwise, would not the sacrifices have stopped being offered, because those rendering sacred service once cleansed would have no consciousness of sins anymore? On the contrary, these sacrifices are a reminder of sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take sins away." But the Apostle Paul was referring to the arrangement that the high priest would follow for the nation of Israel. Jesus, however, offered up to Jehovah not an animal sacrifice, but he offered up a perfect sacrifice that actually took sins away or takes sins away from mankind. Another way in which Jesus is a better high priest is that Jesus' sacrifice did not need to be offered repeatedly. Paul alludes to that in this verses that we read, that it would be done year after year. But Jesus only had to offer up that sacrifice once as a ransom for mankind. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27, it said that it was offered up once for all time. Another aspect that made Jesus a better high priest is he didn't have to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins. You see, Aaron as high priest and the other priests had to offer up sacrifices on their behalf and then a sacrifice on behalf of the people. But Jesus remained without sin, so he did not have to offer up anything for himself. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we know that we have inherited sin from our first father, Adam. And death are grim realities that we face every day. We urgently need, therefore, the services of the high priest whom Jehovah has appointed in our behalf. That high priest is our high priest, Jesus, who represents you and I before Jehovah. Let's now take a look at that second question. How does Jesus show loyalty as a high priest? We read this from that's where it's ending. And it's fitting for us to have such a high priesthood that's loyal. So how does Jesus show this loyalty as a high priest? This program has already talked about Jesus' example of loyalty in so many ways. But now we're looking at it from this perspective as our high priest. Let's consider four ways in which Jesus shows perfect loyalty to Jehovah. The first way is this. Jesus loyally obeys his Father in all things. Now, he stands out in stark contrast to some of the high priests that served in the nation of Israel. In our audio drama this morning, we listened to the events that unfolded in the nation of Israel when Aaron proceeded to build a calf out of the gold for those Israelites while Moses was in Mount Sinai. Now, Aaron was already the priest, a high priest for that nation. But what did he do? He did not demonstrate his loyalty to Jehovah. And then when he said to Moses, well, I threw the gold in the fire and the calf came out. You see, Jesus was not like those earthly men that were high priests. Or how about the priests that existed during the time of Samuel, Eli? Well, he was old. His two sons were certainly not loyal servants of Jehovah. In fact, they brought disgrace upon the role of priests in the tabernacle. And Eli did nothing about it. He did not reprove his sons or discipline them in any way. And if he says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 24, he says, no, my sons, the report I hear circulating among the people of Jehovah is not good. That's all he said. He didn't take any decisive action. Yes, imperfect human priests were prone to failings and passive obedience. On the other hand, Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Jesus learned obedience. He had always been obedient from his youth. But his sufferings that he experienced as he grew up and prior to his death refined and tested him to the full. And therefore his qualifications as our high priest simply rose, not only in Jehovah's sight, but also in ours. When you think about that, Jesus remained obedient even when he was hungry and tempted by the devil after his 40 days in the wilderness. You can picture the situation. He was exhausted, hungry. What about the occasion that he was on the torture stake, the extreme pain that he was facing? But he remained loyal and faithful to Jehovah right up until his death. Jesus obediently also taught just as Jehovah had directed him to teach. In John chapter 12 and verse 49, here's what Jesus himself stated as the Apostle John records his words for us. John chapter 12 and verse 49. For I have not spoken of my own initiative, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. Yes, Jesus was obedient to convey what Jehovah wanted people to hear. The second way in which Jesus is an ever high priest is that Jesus' loyalty always reflects Jehovah's impartial justice in his dealings with people. Just in Jesus' day, there were still chief priests and high priests that existed. At the age of 12, Annas and Caiaphas were serving in that role. But they were corrupting justice. They were still sacrificing animals to the people. They would do it to get more money. They did not exercise justice, but perverted it. religious leaders that existed in Jesus' day, such as the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Bible aptly describes them as individuals who were heavy-handed bullies, who cared more about their man-made rules and regulations than about the needs of the people. In fact, they proceeded to add on more traditions and rules that just simply burdened the people. Last summer, he enjoyed the video drama, for certainly God made him more than Christ. Let's just look at a video clip from that second part of that drama, and it's depicting events that unfolded as recorded for us in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 35. Let's watch.
We rejoice with you, because you can see now. Glory to God, not the man Jesus, we know that he was a sinner.
Whether he's a sinner, I do not know.
One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I can see.
But what did Jesus do to you? How did he open your eyes?
I told you already, and yet you do not listen.
Why do you want to hear it again?
You do not want to become a disciple also, do
you? You are a disciple of that man. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses.
But as for this man, we do not know where he is from.
This is certainly amazing. That you do not know where Jesus comes from.
And yet he opened my eyes.
We know that God does not listen to sinners.
But if anyone is contrary and does God's will, he listens to this one.
But from a Moses, never been heard that anyone opened their eyes to one born blind.
This man were not from God, he could do nothing at all.
We're all together born in sin.
And yet, are you teaching us?
Throw him out. Jesus showed compassion to this man that was born blind. He was reasonable in his dealings with people. Is that not the kind of high priest that we need? The third way that Jesus is a better high priest is that he loyally reflects Jehovah's love and compassion. You know, Jesus, he was grieved by the hard-heartedness of those religious leaders in his day. Turn please to Mark chapter 3. Let's just recall an example of what Jesus was dealing with in connection with these religious leaders. Here's a situation with a man that has a withered hand. It says in verse 1, it says, once again, Jesus went into the synagogue, at the synagogue, and a man with a withered hand was there. So they were watching him closely to see whether he would cure the man on the Sabbath in order to accuse him. He took the man with the withered hand, get up, and come to the center. Next, he said to the man, the religious leaders, is it lawful on the Sabbath to go there to do harm, to save a life, or to kill? But they kept silent. After looking around the town of the nation, being thoroughly grieved at the insensibility of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And then notice he says that now the Pharisees went out and immediately began holding counsel with the party followers of Herod against him in order to kill him. Yes, rather than being pleased that this man looks nothing like those people. Think about another example. The way Jesus treated the woman who had that sickness, the flow of blood, for 12 years. Let's look at another clip. This one is from Mark 1, a verse, certainly God made him Lord in Christ. It's based on Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Let's in this video clip that Jesus did more than just heal the woman. He felt pity for her. He showed compassion for her. Even though Jesus was never ever sick, but he understood what she was going through. And then did you notice how he referred to her? He used a very intimate and comforting expression, daughter. And he praised her for the faith that she had. He acknowledged her illness had been grievous and a source of great pain for her for those many, many years. Is it not, brothers, comforting? Is it not comforting for us to know that our high priest, as Jesus is our high priest, is fully able to sympathize with our weaknesses and trials? Let's look at the fourth way in which Jesus is a better high priest. You know how he joins Jehovah to fight against sin and death. Remember on the annual Day of Atonement, the high priest acted out a prophetic drama. He entered the most holy of the temple with the blood of the sacrifice. And it was of the bull. The high priest represented the way Christ Jesus would enter heaven itself to present to Jehovah the value of his shed blood, his ransom sacrifice. And even before offering up his life, Jesus showed that he was the resurrection and the life. And that's outlined for us in the account found in the 11th chapter of John. You see, Jehovah God had already empowered him to defeat mankind's terrifying enemy, death, even while he was a human still on earth, before he even would be able to exercise that towards all mankind, which he will do in the future. You recall how the resurrection of Lazarus was portrayed in that video for a certainty, God made him Lord and Christ. Well, let's just be reminded as we
Lazarus was dead for 4 days. The body had been carefully prepared for burial according to Jewish custom. Not embalmed as the Egyptians were, so the body had already begun to decay. Still, Martha and Mary had faith in Jesus' power. They knew beyond a doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. So they took Jesus to the cave where Lazarus had been laid. A large stone was lying against the entrance to the cave. Notice the feelings that Jesus revealed when he was with those that were mourning the death of Lazarus, the apostles, Mary, and Martha. In John chapter 11, verses 34 and 35, it says that Jesus asked, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And verse 35 says, Jesus gave way to tears. It was depicted in that video clip that we just viewed. Now, Jesus wasn't acting. When the Bible records that he gave way to tears, he sincerely hates sin and death. And he knows what it brings upon mankind when they experience it, the loss of a loved one. Jesus loyally reflects the feelings of his Heavenly Father, Jehovah. And brothers and sisters, can you just imagine in your mind and your heart Jesus' joy when Jehovah directs him as our high priest to carry out the resurrection of mankind on a global scale? We just saw something depicted in a video presentation that the Bible speaks about. That Jesus resurrected a few others when he was on earth. It's comforting. It's comforting for each of us to contemplate the loyal high priest whom Jehovah God has appointed to restore us to perfection and to wipe out sin and death for all time. That is our high priest, the one whom Jehovah God has put into place for the benefit of those who worship the true God. Thinking of Jesus as the high priest.
sacrifice your gratitude by continuing to carry out the work that Jesus assigned his followers. It's recorded for us in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, to go and make disciples of people of all the nations, to baptize them in the name of Jehovah, in the name of Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Ask